are rolling. Proceed.
Good morning. Welcome to Storytelling Time. My name is William Porter. Let's start the day with a prayer. Lord, thank you for giving us the strength to acknowledge you this morning. Help us to start this day, this new week, doing what you want us to do. Continue to look over those who may not have the strength to accomplish what you would want them to achieve. And help us to help those who are less fortunate to rise up and realize your presence, and to help them fulfill the purpose you have for their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. It's so good to be with you this morning. The morning is such an important time during the day, and I hope we can set the tone for the day, a good tone, for the rest of the time that you have the day, and not only today, but also for the rest of the week. Again, my name is William Porter, and I'm an author, and I write inspirational books. Let me ask you a question. Have you seen any news lately, whether it be local, state, national, or any stories that you may have read on the internet? Well, chances are you've seen what I've seen, and that's been bad news, whether it's the weather, domestic violence, terrorism, or politics, to name a few areas where there is not much good news out there to be heard. I'm glad to report that there is some good news out there, however, but you have to look long and hard to find it. It reminds me of watching the evening news where the newscaster brings you 25 minutes of bad news, then tries to brighten the whole newscast with the last 5 minutes being a positive story of some kind. They do their best to bring good news, and we should appreciate their efforts. But as much as they try, for the most part, the news is just plain bad, unfortunately. And even in our personal lives, there are challenges to contend with, whether it's our health, finances, or some personal issue, like a relationship problem. As an author, I'm happy to report to you that you can read some good news for a change. This brings me to the books that I have written. They are classified as what I call inspirational because the stories are about largely the positive experiences people have had, many of which they can explain. But most would contend those experiences represent a divine occurrence in their lives. My first book, Life in the Spirit, was published in August of 2015 and contains 15 true stories about people's experiences that they believe to be extraordinary, or in some cases, even miraculous. We all have experiences that fall into this category, and we've certainly had these experiences in the past. Even at an early age, we may recall instances when unusual things happen to us that we just can't explain and couldn't explain at the time. Well, I've written about some of my own experiences that fall into this category. And some of those stories I will talk about in an upcoming book that I'll talk about later. I've also written a second book entitled Heaven Can't Wait. This book is different from the first one I wrote because it is a fictional novel about a young lady who attempts to find happiness in life. The problem is that in all our attempts to find that proverbial heaven on earth, there are pitfalls along the way, and the lead character in this book certainly had her share of them. If you would like more information on these books and other inspirational materials, just visit my website at williamporterlife.com. Before we begin with our story this morning, I want to share a new segment on the show called Word of Inspiration. Today's word of inspiration comes from expressions of wisdom I read recently off of the internet. And while the internet has bad news, to be sure, as I mentioned before, there is some good news that you can find. Well, this morning, I'd like to recite two of these expressions, and I will give a response afterwards. The first one I've labeled confidence, and it reads as follows. God wants you confident in the truth that all things are possible through Him. Every day of your life, you have a choice. You can either focus on the obstacles before you, or you can be confident in the truth that God is pouring His strength into you. Our response to this word of inspiration should be this: God is waiting and wants to offer us strength in the time of need. Pray for strength when you are weak, weary, and afraid to stand. And remember, when we are weak, that is, when we find ourselves not as strong as we would like to be, we can pray for strength to overcome whatever it is that we need to overcome. And God can and will deliver us if we believe. Now, I want to emphasize that last part. We have to believe. But believe what, you might ask? And here's the answer. Believe, and I say really believe, that God will help you solve whatever problem or issue that you might have. The second word of inspiration I want to share with you today, I'll give the title fearless. And here is how it reads. God wants so much more for us than to walk through life full of fear, worry, and with anxiety. Our anxiety distracts us from our relationship with God and from the truth that He is beside us in all circumstances. But more than that, He is within us through His Spirit. Our response to this word should be this. Instead of being fearful and anxious, we should live life the way Jesus teaches. And that is a life full of faith, truth, hope, and peace. Let's pray for ourselves as well as for others to find that peace in troubling circumstances. I hope you've gotten something from our word of inspiration this morning, and we'll be right back with our story. Welcome back. Now let's start the story. Bill Rawls has a very close family with strong moral values. Bill works as a local manager of a large global trucking firm based in Phoenix, Arizona. His wife, Anna, is a child care provider in the city of Flagstaff, a suburb just beyond the city limit of Phoenix. They have three children, a son, Jay, and two daughters, Monica and Joda. To relax after a long week of activity, the Rawlses often travel to the nearby mountains where they love to hike and camp out. When the family is not on the road during the weekends, they usually attend church on Sunday at Springview Christian Church in Phoenix. All are active members, where husband Bill leads the way as a church administrator. Proximity to Bill's job was a strong reason for the Rawls' decision to move to Scottsdale, a bit further away from Flagstaff, where Anna works, and from Phoenix, where the kids are in school. But Bill wanted to move to Calhoun County, and for one reason, that being that it would be a nice, safe neighborhood. Bill had read earlier about how nice some of the neighborhoods were in that part of the metropolitan area. Many of these counties were designated as having some of the highest incomes in the country. He felt that the family could afford the move because of his recent hiring as a manager at the Denning's Distribution Company, a global company that distributes farm equipment to local retailers. While the salary that was offered to Bill was rather modest, the opportunity for upward advancement in the company was very good. Some of the key personnel in the company had reminded him of such during the hiring process. So after Bill and Anna had researched the various homes in the Scottsdale area, and in particular a neighborhood that they felt comfortable in establishing a residence, they decided on a house in Chandler's Heights. The house that Bill and Anna finally considered in Chandler's Heights was a nice one, but before they were to make a final decision, Bill wanted to research the community in which the house was located. The character of the neighborhood and community was also important to the Rawlses, in their decision to purchase the house. Bill and his family debated whether to finalize on this particular house or continue their search. Bill took the extra time because he wanted to be comfortable with the neighborhood surrounding the house as well. To make sure that the neighborhood was a good one to move into, Bill would drive around the community after work, especially in the early evening, to see if there was a lot of foot traffic in the area, as well as to check on the noise level. He also wanted to see if pets were running around, like dogs and other stray animals. After driving through the neighborhood on two or three occasions, he saw nothing that would discourage him from moving into the area. In fact, he found that the neighborhood was a rather quiet and peaceful community. It was a week after Bill drove around in the neighborhood when the decision on moving to Chandler's Heights had been confirmed. So with all the information on both the house and the surrounding neighborhood that they thought they needed, the Rouses closed on the property and started what they hoped would be several peaceful years enjoying their new home. Bill and Anna look forward to raising their kids in a nurturing environment as they continue to go to middle school and later to high school. Chandler's Heights was a very attractive neighborhood with mostly two-story homes with fenced-in backyards. The Homeowners Association made sure that the lawns were mowed and had a regular maintenance program. The plants were well trimmed and the yards were manicured. In addition, most yards were kept very neat. As an extra benefit, there was a swimming pool, a lounge area, and an exercise facility in the community clubhouse. And most important to Bill, the neighborhood was quiet, especially at night. Weekdays were quiet as well. And at times, the Rawls, after work, would first visit some of the neighbors in the neighborhood of Chandler's Heights, and the neighbors were fine as well. Everything looked fine. On most weeks, the Rouses would attend Bible study, and by the end of the week, the kids would go to choir rehearsal. So the Rouses were dedicated to the church, but more importantly, led by Bill, they believed that the biblical principle that we show the love of Christ by being obedient to his word. Being obedient to the word, to Bill at least, meant that loving our neighbor and being of service to other people was just as important as Sunday worship. To the Rouses, family was first place. Community was also very important. And as a matter of fact, Bill especially took community service very seriously. He assisted in community-based Meals on Wheels program. He also participated in a prison ministry. And they all visit the local nursing home on occasion. On Sundays, the family would attend church in the late morning. They were usually back home by 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So life was good in Chandler's Heights. We'll be right back after this short break. Welcome back. One of the reasons for the Rouses' decision to move to Scottsdale, some 50 miles away from Phoenix, where Bill worked, was the problem of violence in some of the city's neighborhoods, especially in the southern part of the city, which included a community called Claremont. Some of these areas, such as Claremont, were known for organized gambling rings, prostitutions, and street violence. One of the characteristics of this part of the city was that most of the issues of criminal activity were time-specific, you might say. That is, most of the obvious criminal activity usually took place at night, especially late at night, and during the early morning hours. As a result, public safety issues were a concern for law enforcement officials. And they tried to address the problem. Police stations were strategically placed in communities like Claremont to at least limit or preferably eliminate entirely criminal activity in the area. This idyllic idealistic, I should say, vision of a crime-free area was not really realistic. But still, the police wanted to limit criminal activity in the area by noticeable surveillance. Over a period of time after the first few years of the Rouses' residence in their new neighborhood, Bill was able to take a two-week break from his work, sort of like a mini vacation, you might say. He was at home during that period in the daytime hours when most adults in the neighborhood were at work and children were in school. Bill had taken these breaks from work before, and he found the neighborhood to be very quiet during the time of day he was at home. During his latest time off from work, however, when he went to his house early one day, he began to detect a different situation in the area. He began to notice that a few gradual changes were taking place. First, he noticed that the number of renters in the area had grown since they first moved into the area. Second, graffiti was beginning to appear in certain places, like on fences, on some of the sidewalks, and on vacant houses. Third, and most importantly, there seemed to be more activity in the streets of the neighborhood than before, especially in the early afternoon period of the day. When Bill returned to work, the days continued into weeks. There seemed to be, in Bill's estimation, less and less quietness in the neighborhood than during their first few years living in the area. Eventually, things got to be noticeably worse during the daytime. Evidence of this was when, on one afternoon, Anna returned home from her daycare job because she was not feeling very well. As she approached the entrance to the main gate of her neighborhood, she noticed some young men. They seemed to be teenagers sitting on a bench not very far from her house. She thought that it was odd that they were there instead of being in school. As she walked to her front door, one of the young boys approached her. He asked if she needed any help with her shopping bags that she had. She had just been to the grocery store and had planned to make some hot dogs that night. But make no mistake, Anna was afraid for someone to come that close to her when there was no one else around that could be seen in the area except for the boy who approached her and his friends. She quickly responded that she was fine and thanked him for his willingness to assist her. But she tried to stress to him, in a rather firm voice, I might add, that she didn't need his help. With that serious look in her eyes, the boy decided to return to his small group that was only a short distance away. Meanwhile, Anna had just been scared out of her boots, as she later expressed to Bill. The boys clearly did not appear to be a friendly group as perceived by Anna. She saw one of the young men smoking a cigarette, and another boy looked to be drinking something out of a cup. Anna wondered if it was some alcoholic drink of some kind. But the weirdest thing was that they were constantly gazing at Anna as she entered her house. Very strange. When Anna was safely into her home, she locked the doors and got on the phone quickly to call Bill to inform him of the experience. She said that she felt very uncomfortable with the boys hanging out so close to their home, just hanging out with no apparent objective. They were just there, and on occasion would gaze at their house. They would just sit there. They would sit there and stare. Bill said that he would come home early to survey the situation and to comfort Anna from what she had just experienced. So Bill left work and arrived at his neighborhood. A short time thereafter, he saw the young boys near his house as Anna had seen earlier. Bill went into his house and remained at home for the rest of the day. While finally at home, he comforted Anna and enjoyed a rare opportunity to rest there during a weekday. And by the way, he enjoyed some good hot dogs and baked beans that night that Anna had prepared earlier. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Now let's return to our story. About 3 weeks from the time Anna had first seen the young man on the street near her house, she again came home early in the afternoon. As before, she saw the young men near her house again. She was disturbed this time, as before. Again, she called Bill, who came home immediately to monitor the situation. When Bill got to his house, he confronted the fellows and had some words with them about congregating near his house. Nothing came of that confrontation, however. When Bill came into the house and met with Anna, she tearfully admitted that she was terrified at what could happen in the neighborhood to her, not only to her, but to the kids as well. It was evident that this type of environment was not a favorable one for them, especially the children. So Bill became increasingly concerned of the situation. He especially thought of Anna being at home alone in an environment that was increasingly more unstable with regards to the kind of people that were beginning to infiltrate and take residence in the neighborhood. Among the duties that Bill had on his job at Denning's was sometimes taking long trips to other cities around the United States, as well as cities in other countries on occasion, to attend meetings and to conduct workshops. So his concern grew for Anna and the kids being in such a changing and possibly hostile environment whenever he was away from the house for several days. At this point, Bill started to make plans to move out of the neighborhood and into some other community in the Phoenix metropolitan area. The challenge Bill and his family had was finding a buyer for his current home while, at the same time, finding a suitable residence elsewhere and close on that property. Still, the family would be at the current house for at least the near future, and Bill knew that the longer they remained there, the more risky that some confrontation would take place between him and whomever might be present, or at least whomever might present a challenge, like those young men who congregated near his house. What happened over the next 2 weeks was truly remarkable. After intensive house searches by Bill and Anna, they concluded that a house in Flagstaff, almost on the Phoenix city limit, would make the most sense to them as a permanent residence, like what they did in Chandler's Heights. Bill did his research on the house as well as the neighborhood and felt very good about the area in general. It was closer to the central city than his residence in Chandler's Heights, where you would think that criminal behavior would be more frequent. However, Bill found that this area was the one the family ended up strongly considering to be their next home. It appeared to be a very nice neighborhood. It would be a scaled-down version of the house they had before, but the area was very quiet. So they were ready to close, but they still had to sell their house in Chandler's Heights because they were going to use some of the funds from the sale of that home as a down payment for the new house. Fortunately, the very day the Rawlses were to move into their new residence, they received a call from the realtor they had been working with. The realtor said to Bill that an individual had made an offer to buy their old house, and they were willing to move in immediately. "Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord!" Bill proclaimed. There was a lot of movement and transactions taking place on that day of the move, so the Rouses ended up concluding on the bid for the sale of their old home and, at the same time, closing on their new residence. There was a lot of movement and transactions taking place on that day of the move, so the Rouses ended up concluding on the bid for the sale of their old house and, at the same time, closing on their new residence. While there was a lot of activity going on that day for the Rouses, believe me, it was well worth it. I'll be right back for some final comments. Welcome back. Our special scripture today comes from Romans 8:28. This scripture states that And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the call according to his purpose. I've said before that this particular scripture in the Bible is very difficult to believe sometimes, at least in the natural, in our natural minds, and especially when we're going through a trial of some kind, something that we have to resolve. Despite the problems he had in his old neighborhood, Bill Rawls felt that he and his family received favor when events led to the purchase of a new home that they desired. That is, a new home in a safe neighborhood that was quiet, by the way, for his wife and kids. Bill continued to believe that things would get better even while still living in a bad neighborhood, such as what Chandler's Heights turned out to be. And things ultimately did get better for them, however. But the key to Bill's success was that he transformed his belief into action. It's the kind of action that defines our faith, a knowing that if we do our part to solve a problem, whatever the problem might be, God would be right there to help us with the solution. Before we have our virtual song of the week, I'd like to thank you for listening this morning and hope you got something out of the program. And I also hope that you'll have a great day. And not only that, but a great week for that matter, until we meet again. And remember, there's always more good things coming your way. We'll see you the next time.
This is my favorite song. Side. And the reason why you're questioning it
is because of the simple fact it seems like the devil is hitting you with everything that he can possibly throw at you. But you need to understand something, beloved. You need to remember that the only reason why you're in that position now is because God had ordered your steps. And the only reason why the devil is hitting you like he's hitting you is because he has literally peeked into your future. And he sees what God's about to bring you into. That's why you can't depend on nothing but the word of God. Ah, your word is truth.